What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 19th. And yes, we are going to celebrate baseball today. We're going to celebrate it. It is a holiday, of course. And we have Sheehan is believing. Yes, he made his return to the majors yesterday for the Dodgers from Tommy John. Four innings, one earned run, three hits, zero walks, and six Ks. Should you be adding Emmett Sheehan? Yeah, I think so. It really depends on how the Dodgers are going to use him moving forward. The biggest question I have is if Sheehan has full runway now as a starter. They have all these random options. I mean, Matt Sawyer is in AAA now, but you have Kasparis getting stretched out. Maybe he's the piggyback for Otani of Rybolski, who came in actually after this, and we'll talk about him in a second. And of course, you have maybe Tyler Glasnow returning somewhat soon. You have Clayton Kershaw doing well and staying in that rotation. Maybe eventually you have Blake Snell. I don't know how this all works. But what I will tell you is that these seem as if that they want Sheehan starting. And he throws four seamers upstairs at 95. He has a good flat attack angle, which is good. It means that he's actually doing upstairs, and the Dodgers are finally directing the guy to do the right thing, or at least Sheehan knows it and is just going to do it instead of these low fastballs I've seen endlessly from guys that should be throwing upstairs. That's good. He also added 2 inches of vert. It was like 14.9. It was bad before. Now it's 17 inches. What? Okay, that's really good. I also love the fact that he's throwing sliders and changeups down. This was actual pitch separation. And for the first start back from Tommy John, where everyone tells me, oh, command is always bad when you come back from Tommy John, this didn't look like bad command. Now, there are some elements of polish needed to be added with the slider and the changeup a little bit here and there. He did get some whiffs on both. But this was pretty good. And only won 65 pitches. He got better also as the start went on. That fourth inning, he struck out the side. It was great. It wasn't overwhelming. And maybe it will be in the future if that four-seamer slider change mix works a little bit more in tandem. But it wasn't like it's Skeens showing up. It wasn't Mizorowski's debut. That kind of thing, right? Still, I think Emmett Sheehan's very much worth your time. And he should get wins eventually. This right now, 65 pitches, maybe gets pushed to 70. Maybe they do 65 again, the Dodgers of the Dodgers. And it might be frustrating if you're looking for volume. But I think over time, if Emmett Sheehan is looking like the starter, then he will be stretched out further. And the Dodgers are just trying to get as many innings as they possibly can across the staff that isn't their elite starters of Otani and Yamamoto and Glasnow and Snell, really. Those four, they're trying to preserve as much as they can for the playoffs. So guys like Sheehan, yeah, he's probably going to eat up as many innings as he can. You have also Justin Rybolski coming in after 5 innings of 1 earned run, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. And if you remember from his last start, I was so shocked. Because out of nowhere, Rybolski is all of a sudden being this kitchen sink guy and throwing 97.7 in this one. Oh my gosh, it was 97 last time, and he even sat 98 arguably here. Insane. It was a four-seamer that the higher velocity came from. So 97, 98 was on the four-seamer. Throwing like 10 times, 11 times. And he did get 6 outs with it. 5 in play, 1 as a strikeout. The sinker was at 95, 96 though. And you have the cutter at 16 for 17 strikes, which is good. And the slider is kind of around the zone too, but those weren't really spotted well. And that's the issue I have with Rybolski. You have harder velocity, that's nice. But the overall feel of the arsenal isn't quite there that makes me excited. That's why you only see 6 whiffs here and 3 Ks. He has also terrible extension, but let's be honest, if he's throwing that hard and mixing it in properly, he should be able to get more strikeouts with it, just get the ball up. Thank you. And also, the cutter and the changeup should be better. Rather, the cutter and the slider should be better off of that heater. You also have the changeup and curve appearing, but they're not really making any sort of impact. And it is feeling like it's mostly fastballs with these questionable breakers at the moment of slider and cutter. So it's a work in progress for Rybolski. But it is really cool to see him. He got a win, and you might actually want him for the next time, as he likely will be this tandem with Emmett Sheehan. You have Kasparis following Otani, and you have Sheehan and Rybolski at the moment. You might see Rybolski be a flex thing of maybe it's after Kasparis, or I don't know. The Dodgers are being the Dodgers, okay? Dodgeritis is here. I don't feel like you need to roster either one of Sheehan or Rybolski, but I would go for Sheehan. I feel like he is an add in 12-teamers. It's not like you have to do it because it will be likely a couple starts, and you don't really know what it's going to be at the end of that. Chris Sale against the Mets. Ace is going to ace. Oh, man. He was one strike away from getting the complete game shutout. Nimmo threw out the bat somehow and hit this little bloop down the left field line. Unbelievable. Germán Márquez, honestly, another game from him. Oh, my gosh. It would have been the gold star, but there's someone else we got to talk about later. And this was in Nationals territory, not in Colorado. So 5.2 innings of zero runs. Super happy for him. But obviously, we don't do this. Ranger Suarez did really well against the Marlins. He's been on such a run. And it's also good being a Southpaw against the Marlins. So that's cool. It won't last the entire year. But yeah, we're happy with this. Garrett Crochet got the win against the Mariners. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 6-6, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. Yeah, I feel a little silly for the whole 95 cents on the dollar thing for Crochet because he's just been absurdly good. But I'm happy that he adjusted. You know, guys don't always adjust. Mitchell Parker, by the way, oh my gosh, he had this horrible game against the Marlins. Almost got me knocked out of the Guillotine League. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. And this was not just Rocky Road here, which you could say, fine, Rocky Road and brush it aside. This was a legitimate Blake Snell blueprint. Four seamers in the upper half exclusively, with curveballs in the lower half exclusively. I mean, perfect right down the middle line separation between the two. Reminds me of the Drew Pomeranz days, really. Sometimes Blake Snell, but no, I think of Pomeranz doing that endlessly and having his success. I think Parker can make this work. He gets the Padres next. That could be a very sneaky one in deeper leagues. I'm going to be watching that, hoping we get more of this command with both of those pitches. Remember, he's like a 7-foot extension guy. Eric Lauer, speaking of surprising outings. Wow, against the Diamondbacks, got the win. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. He even earned the King Cole here at a 36% CSW. How does he do this? Well, it reminded me a bit of 2021 and 2022. If you remember Eric Lauer there, he was throwing these four seamers upstairs. In some games, he got like 16 whiffs just on that pitch. He had a 24% striker rate back then. He also got Tommy John, I believe it was, and wasn't around in 2024. So you can get a grasp of like, oh man, maybe we're back to that 21-22 version of Eric Lauer. And this was four seamers up. You had some Cannibal McSanchez in there too with cutters upstairs for 83% CSW curveballs as well sneaking in. It was pretty cool, I gotta say. And 70% strikes and a 15% swing strike rate overall for the season on Eric Lauer's four-seamer to right-handers. Oh my gosh, so many variables there. But just understand that his attack against right-handers is better because that four-seamer is just so effective upstairs. The biggest question I have is against left-handers. And this was a game against the Diamondbacks where they threw a ton of right-handers at him. He was able to go 75 pitches, which he hasn't really been able to do this year. And we didn't face lefties, was able to do the four-seamer attack and all of that. So I am curious to see how he looks against a left-handed lineup. We might not get that next time. It is the Guardians who can go both sides of the plate. They have switch hitters. They have platoon guys. That might actually be okay with Eric Lauer. And what's kind of funny is someone called me out on Twitter. They sent me a DM. They loved it. But they control F Lauer on the list. And I actually wrote like, did you actually control F Lauer? That's what I wrote. And I regret that now because he deserved better. He deserved better in the honorable mentions and he will not be in the honorable mentions next week. I know, crazy, right? You have Eduardo Rodriguez going against the Jays on the other side of it. You have 4.2 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. I actually think he pitched pretty well. You have changeups in the down and away quadrant. And yes, I just went to Kyle Bland to be like, please give me down and away percentage for a location. I think that's a really cool one just to see for changeups and sliders to same-handed and opposite-handed batters. But you also have cutters along the edges. You have four seamers generally, not in the middle of the zone. He did have some, but I feel like he got done dirty. There was an error in this one for one of those for an unearned run as well. He gets the White Sox and the Marlins next. I feel like that actually is worthwhile, so I would be streaming him if I could. That's Eduardo Rodriguez. We're going to go to Nick Lodolo against the Twins. He got the win in a complete game, 6 innings, because it was rain suspension. But the Reds were winning after the Twins hit for 6 innings, and that's it. They got a cheap win here, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. This was really good. Lefties couldn't handle the curveball. You had changeups away to right-handers, also sinkers away to right-handers, and four seamers upstairs. The sinker away to right-handers, fine. It does set up the changeup, and he did get it away. So that's cool with me. I think he's in a really good place, and he gets the Yankees next, and who knows how the Yankees will look then. And speaking of which, Jack Ahanowitz, 5.1 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 8 strikeouts against them. Oh, man. What's really cool is throwing 99.8 right away out of the gate from Jack Ahanowitz, but then by the end of it, it was like 93-94. Fine. But, yeah, this wasn't something to really latch onto, save for sinkers having good location against left-handers. But, yeah, I'm not really buying the fact that he had 6 whiffs on his changeup. I don't think he's spotted that well. I don't think the slider was spotted well. He did go upstairs with the four-seamer with intent, which is cool, but actually, like, up and in to left-handers. Yeah, what is going on with the Bronx? Like, something is up with the water with the Yankees. I don't know. It's weird. And on that side was Ryan Yarbrough, the Friday Pirate. He did well. 5.1 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Yeah, he did his normal thing of these changeups that are tempting guys out of the zone away against right-handers. Cutters coming back over the plate. Some sweepers there, too. And it's against the Angels, who were right-handed focused. So actually, that kind of is Yarbrough's jam. And it worked out. He's going to the Reds, Great American Ballpark, that I'm not as afraid of because the Reds offense is just that bad. And he's also going to be hosting the Athletics in Yankee Stadium. Maybe he can get at least one more win there, but we'll see how the offense is doing. You also have Framber Valdez, who did get a win, 6 innings and 2 earned runs, but it was 5 hits and 5 walks and 3 Ks. And that is what I often say about Framber Valdez, is just please don't give us the damaging whip, and there you go. However, I do want to mention two things. One, I mean, he's been such a good run that you can kind of be like, all right, it's one weird day. But mostly two, Secreverde, that is Sacramento for the Green Athletics. Yeah, that mound is messed up. And we have documented quotes about how the mound is so strange and hard to throw off of. And for a guy like Valdez, who is in such a good rhythm, you know, and has those moments of volatility, doesn't surprise me that his bad start is in the Sacreverde. So I am just going to hand wave that one. We have other guys to talk about. Chris Bubich and Luis Castillo and Severino and Verlander making his return and Trevor Rogers. And what should you do with all these guys? Well, let me tell you after this break. Logan Allen, 5.1 innings of 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts against the Giants. I was wondering if he was going to be a decent enough stream. He was 101 on the list. That is the last guy I removed. And I'm glad it worked out. I am not going to start a lefty against the Jays next time. That is Logan Allen, so no thank you. Luis Severino did well in Sacreverde. I can't believe it. And Koufax helped him a ton. 9 hits, 1 walk, and just 2 earned runs in 5 innings with 5 strikeouts. He did have better command with heaters inside and then sweepers away. This is pretty much mostly right-handers. I don't want to start him in Detroit and in the Bronx. I imagine in a week and change that the Yankees will have figured out their offense. Steven Kolek did well, honestly, near poor quality start, a little bit better, actually, against the Dodgers. 6.1 innings of 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. He's a strike thrower, and he really relies too much on command. His stuff isn't good. I'm not interested in this whatsoever, but I'm happy for him. Luis Castillo against the Red Sox, they hosted him in the T, so that is in Seattle. And he's been keeping his head above water as the four-seamer location is fine. It's good upstairs, I guess, and the secondaries are, you know, 300 runs, 3 hits, 6 innings, 2 walks, 5 Ks, right? It's not exciting, and I feel as if he's pitching at his best he can right now to be okay, which means that it's going to be bad. I'm worried about it. If guys are in on Castillo and want to buy him off of you, I probably would, but I don't really think you can. Chris Bubich against the Rangers got the win, 5.1 innings of 300 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. He was singled out. He had a tough first inning where they bamboozled him in like the first 16 pitches, I think, for 2 runs. But he had 19 whiffs for a gallows pull. That changeup went 13 over 34 whiffs against the Rangers. Oh, boy. And yeah, the four-seamer's at 91.8. It's not at 93. That's fine. His command is good. We are very happy with Chris Bubich. Justin Verlander made his return from the IL against the Guardians. It was 4.2 innings of 3 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. And I was looking for 95 on the four-seamer, and we got 93.5. And the four-seamer wasn't located upstairs while the slider was too often. Yeah, that's not it. You can make an argument that this was a steal ill. You shake off the rust. And then it's the Marlins and the White Sox next, and you want to go with that. I can actually see that maybe in some 12-teamers, quality start leagues. I think it's just too risky. He's not really providing so much. But you did have 6 strikeouts. And it was only 300 runs. I can see it. it's up to you if you really want to roll with that. Paul Blackburn pitched for the Mets, and I got to say, why is Paul Blackburn pitching for the Mets? Tyler McGill was put on the IL, so they needed a starter. Fine. Maybe Paul Blackburn doesn't make his next start because they do have a lot of options. They do have Sproat in Tidwell and even Jonah Tong and Nolan McLean. Like, come on. One of these guys has got to get the call instead of Paul Blackburn, right? And they're even doing a bullpen game with Hagenman doing the bulk as well. And it's like, this has to change, right? 3.2 innings of 300 runs against Atlanta and 73 pitches. You don't want this. Trevor Rogers, 2.1 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. Oh no, he did so well in his showcase for the Orioles. The first time he put on an Orioles uniform and then he was sent back to the minors. Now he's back with Cade Povich's hip injury. And here's the thing. I actually think he pitched really well. He had really good pitch separation. We had sinkers around the edges. Four seamers actually going upstairs. Sliders and changeups were actually down. That's really cool from Trevor Rogers. So I think that actually you give him runway here in the Orioles rotation. You might have something you like. He does get the Rangers and Rays next. He's at 71 pitches. Maybe he's actually going to be allowed to go to 85 next time because he has been pitching in the minors regularly. He's also at 94. It's not like 92. I think this can work, man. I'm just saying. I think that that's a good dark horse play, Trevor Rogers against the Rangers. Bailey Ober against the Reds in Great American Ballpark. On the Kraft episode with Eno Saris yesterday. If you don't listen to that podcast, by the way, what are you doing? I still feel so very fortunate and I'm just lucky I get to do this with Eno every week. And we talked about Bailey Ober, and he said, where are you in Bailey Ober? Are you out? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm out. Without hesitation, I'm done with him. And here's the sticky. Bailey Ober does not have the same four-seamer command he used to. I used to call him Bailey Ober Rizzy because Jake Odorizzi did the whole high four-seamer like 75% of the time, and Bailey Ober did the same. And it came down last year to like 61% or so, which was still alarming. Now it's even lower than that, and it's not good. It's not 92 and change. It's 90.7 in this one. We also saw sliders continuously get more contact than they did last year, and the changeup only had 2 whiffs. It's not the hero changeup of old. It's just all bad. And oh, by the way, his hip and his knees are barking at him. He's injured and he's pitching through it. This is not a good situation. I don't think he's going to turn it around. Adam Mazur went against the Phillies, 5.2 innings of 400 runs. He's back for the Marlins. That's cool. Wait until you see something that's actually excited with Adam Mazur. You have Patrick Corbin finally allowing 400 runs in a start. It was in one inning. Okay. He allowed one run and then a 3-run shot. All right. But then otherwise, for the other 4 innings, he was good. And I'm going to give him something like that because it's Patrick Corbin. Don't really expect him to do well. Slider was fantastic with a 37% CSW, and he gets his Orioles next. Maybe that works. I'm just saying. Probably not. And last, but, well, actually least, is Taj Bradley. 1.1 innings of 600 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. And I just didn't even put him on the list this past week because you cannot put yourself in harm's way. And here you go, validating that notion. So, yeah, don't go with Taj Bradley. I know the strikeouts can be there at times, but it's just not worth it. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.